I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
You've waited all week, and now the wait is over. It's the only unfiltered media podcast in America. This is Trash Talk on WEEI.com. Here he is, your boy, Blind Mike. Blind Mike.
Finally, he's been teasing me for weeks now. As I imagine, he does do a lot of young men.
Yeah, I was going to say, I am a cock tease, ultimately.
Finally, he's in studio. The voice you hear there, the very high-pitched. Some would say annoying. I wouldn't use those words.
I don't think I sound high-pitched now, do I?
No, you sound all right.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, your voice isn't as bad.
It's not as bad as the perception.
Right. Yeah. I agree. It was when you were younger.
Well,
when they put the clip together when you were younger.
I was 12.
That was terrible. Yeah, I had a man's voice at 12.
Well, you know? I'm not a man, so I'm not a real man.
Let me ask you this. When you did The Tonight Show at what age? 12 years
I was 12,
old?
Yes.
So when you look back at that.
Yes.
You're on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Yep.
And now
I'm doing a podcast with you.
With a guy named Blind Mike.
It's like, where did this all go wrong?
You peaked at 12.
I did. I said that many times. I'm glad you caught on to that.
Yeah. Is that rough to deal with, or have you gotten over it?
It is rough. No, it's rough. I'll never achieve those heights again. I mean, 12 years old on Tonight Show? Come on.
So, first of all, let me ask you this. Did I hear correctly? I thought you mentioned, I briefly came up your first morning on in the Gilroy stuff. And I thought you said that I talked shit about you when I was on with Gilroy.
Did I say
or
that?
Or did I misunderstand that?
Maybe I said it. I totally forget
okay,
saying
when
that.
My name came up, I thought you said, I heard he was talking trash about
it. Oh, maybe I did. I just saw a headline, WEI.com. It said, like, Reamer's been dodging Blind Mike's podcast. I go, he was probably trash talking me.
No, I was. I mean, I have and I have and I will.
Of course.
That night, I don't think I did. In fact, I think I defended you.
Thank you. U.S. Yes, I appreciate the defense.
I've both.
I heard your Kirk podcast. You were defending me, saying I should have been back. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I agreed to come on.
Well, thank you.
No,
I've both trashed and defended you.
That's great. That's the way it should be, right? It should be 50-50.
You're a guy.
You got to be 50-50.
You're a guy that I disagree with on a lot of your points.
Well, that's good.
That you say on the air. But you're a guy that I also respect because I think. I mean, wait, you're younger than me, right?
I'm not worth respecting, really. But that's okay. You don't need to be nice.
You're younger than me, right? How old are you? 25?
I'm 25, yeah.
Yeah, so you're younger than me, and you've accomplished a lot more. So I have to at least say I respect
you. We're kind of the same place. It's Friday in the summer, and we're here in this darkened studio recording a podcast. So I'd say we're about equal.
So what took you so long to get back on the air? Did they, 6 months you were off?
Five and change.
For the piss ants comment?
Pretty much 5 months to the date. So my last show before the Brady stuff took off was... I think January 26th, 27th, in that range. And my first show back was like June 29th, June 30th, about 2 weeks ago.
The day you got suspended and the day that Brady said I don't want him to lose his job was the day I recorded my first podcast. And it was never heard on the air because I talked about you.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good instinct. But, I mean, you can't be surprised that they wouldn't want that out there.
So they were petrified of it. But that day, what I said was... That, well, I go, he'll probably be back in a couple weeks. If Brady said he shouldn't be fired, then he'll be back eventually. So five months later, you're still waiting to get back on the air. And were they in contact with you at all saying, this is why we haven't had you back yet? Or was there just no communication?
I was in contact with them. Please, can I come back? Right. No, I knew that it was going to be a while before I get back on the air. I think they were playing it by ear. There are a few other things that needed to be sorted out with the station. We did get the confirmation a couple weeks ago that Brady is coming back to KNC. I think that was a benchmark they had in their minds as well. I'm very happy about that. Are you kidding me? Even if I kept my job, I'd never hear the end of it. Right. If Brady left KNC, are you kidding me? So I think it just worked. I had a feeling, you know, I felt like I was in purgatory, especially at the beginning. I had no idea. To be honest with you, the fact that I'm on Kirk and Callahan right now, I there were times when I thought it was never going to happen, really. But then I'd say the last month to 6 weeks, I felt like it was nearing an end. It was just, when is the return going to happen? And it happened about 2 weeks ago.
Why? What was the thing where you told me you were going to be back on air a few weeks ago and then you weren't?
Well, that's how it works here. Well, yeah, I had no idea.
What
it was a tease.
About?
Well, Kirk's, you listen to KNC, right? He's like, Tuesday we'll have Alex.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's, you know, it's 97% fake, so I don't know what to believe and what not to.
I don't, right here with you. I had no idea. No one talked to me that weekend. I said, oh, I guess I'll just have to tune in Monday to find out if I'm working tomorrow. And I did. They teased it softly, so I called Kirk like 6 times, finally picked up on the 6th answer, and he told me, no, you're not going to be on tomorrow, because originally I thought there was really no benefit for me to do this podcast until I got back on the air.
There's no benefit for you to do it anyway.
Right. But I was on, you know, Enough About Me in like April, May with Kirk. I felt like I laid out everything there, and I'm like, I need to lay low till I'm back.
Did you think that was a mistake at all to not do it on the air your first time back, or did you think it was easier?
No, that was good.
You like that better?
What, to do the Kirk podcast?
To do the Kirk podcast first?
No, that was a good move. And that was Kirk did me a solid there.
Yeah.
You know, I asked him to come on the show. I felt like at that point, that was April. It's about 3 months after it happened. I felt like the ice was, you know, pretty much melting. So I said, I just want to get surfaced again in some fashion. And yeah, so we did it there. I think that was well.
Does it get old or frustrating that, like, I heard them, you were on this morning.
I was.
And I heard both Ken and Kirk kind of bashing your return.
Yeah.
Saying you were boring. Does it frustrate you that's going to happen either way? Even if you were outrageous and wacky.
I knew that would be a storyline that would be surfaced. Is Reamer timid? What's he going to be? I mean, I'll be honest. My first two shows have not really stood out. I think it's been fine.
I would say fine.
It's been fine. I've kind of just been there. You know, it was a weird thing with the return. So, I've been back for 2 weeks prior to doing my first KNC. So it's been talked about. I did talk about it in the Kirk podcast. I've apologized. So it's like, you want to do some of the Brady stuff, but, I mean, it's already been said. Like, what more is there to really say about it? So, yeah, it's been fine. The thing with KNC is, especially with the way the show is now, it's a cast of characters. There's so many storylines within the show. I think you need to be in there consistently on a weekly basis in order to build up some of that momentum again. You know, I'm kind of like the weird, like, guy who's just kind of been plopped in there after being off the air for 5 months, you know? So I think that plays into it, too. And then also, you know, what's going on? There need to be issues that you can get fired up about.
July, no, yeah. There's nothing going on.
Yeah.
I'll tell you my problem with you with the Brady stuff is that, and you've admitted to this, that it wasn't real.
No.
It was, you were listening to a guy trying to be outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'll say this in your defense. It reads a lot worse than it listens.
Well,
when you see the headline on Barstool,
well,
it's like, why is he doing that? But then you listen to it, you're like, he's just being silly.
It was a flip comment that, again, wasn't funny, as you mentioned. No one would agree with it. Wasn't real. And it was a stupid. You don't use this platform to make fun of children, never mind the children of Tom Brady, who not only is quarterback of the Patriots, but one of the most valuable assets this radio station has.
But
a loser all around.
But my problem with it was that, like you said, it wasn't real. It's not really how you felt. How do you justify or rationalize going forward that you've admitted you'll say things kind of just to be outrageous, but also that you're an honest broadcaster? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I think, again, it goes back to this. You have to just be honest about it, right? So that was me trying to be the contrarian asshole. Like, how can I be the guy who doesn't like the family? And that is real. I mean, I naturally, when everyone's going one way, I like to go another way. But, you know, and Kirk and I talked about this on his podcast a couple months back. It's a point of you just got to be honest about it. It's like, do I really? And the risk reward, too. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure, but I am owning my words. I mean, I said it. I'm not saying that it was I said it. But if you ask me, did you mean it or not? No, it wasn't a serious take. You listened to it. It was a flip comment.
Right.
It was like 3 seconds. Just trying to go to the line at all times instead of realizing sometimes you just be honest about it and then, you know, go back.
And we all know Mutt is the one to really blame. He was drunk and asleep at the wheel.
Right.
And Mutt, as
Tony should have jumped in the way of Felger during that holiday
yes,
rant,
exactly.
It was Mutt did not jump in my way.
But are you now, Do you still have the thoughts, how can I be the contrarian on this issue? Will you still think like that, or will you just think, whatever I think, I'm going to go to the umpteenth degree with it, but I'm going to be honest always now?
Oh, yes, on it. You have to be honest. But I think the contrarianism is honest.
But there's some stuff that doesn't feel honest with me, like the moral 9/11. I don't believe that you thought it was the worst day in the country.
Oh, no.
Trump.
I do. Well,
do you really?
I think I've been proven right more and more that was a terrible day for this country.
Really?
Again, stupid phrasing,
but,
right?
To compare it to 9/11 is what I'm
saying.
Dumb
phrasing. Absolutely right. Dumb phrasing. But no, my opinion that it was a terrible day for this country, I think I look more right with each passing day, to be honest with you.
In what way? Like, what has Trump actually done?
What has he actually done?
Other than tweeting dumb shit.
Well, you're a white guy,
sure.
Right, who lives
in
Boston.
I'm a disabled guy.
Okay, but white guy.
Yeah, who gives a shit about that, right?
Well, how blind are you, though? What is that?
I mean, getting worse, getting much
you
worse.
You think so?
Oh, I know. I mean, I know.
Fingers
so.
Up and see.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
How many you can see from
yeah, yeah, thank you, Jared.
How much am I holding?
Jared's
up?
First contribution.
Can you
Two,
even see that
three,
I'm holding?
Four.
Three. You got it right, third. Second try.
Yeah, right. No, getting worse.
I'd say you're not.
I can't drive a car. I walked here.
That's
fine,
lucky, though. I don't drive
that's
either.
Lucky. Yeah, I'm a lucky guy.
I'm happy cars aren't part of my life. It saves you a lot of money.
Yeah. But
a lot of headache.
Okay, but keep going. I'm a straight privileged man. I'm a
yes,
very privileged
yes,
man.
Yes, yes. Your skin is not brown. Right. You're not disenfranchised. I mean, you're not, you know, trying to, right. You're not in a low class worker, if you will, is having their protection stripped away. Are you part of a union?
No.
Because those are not a thing anymore. Thanks to the Gorsuch appointment, Supreme Court ruled 4-3 that union contributions are not mandatory now. I mean, that's the thing with Trump, all the conservative judges he's been appointing. If you are a disenfranchised member of society, if your skin is black
but
or brown.
But I am. I know you laugh at that, but I'm a disabled man.
But not. Okay.
In what way am I not? In what way am I not? Tell me.
Well, you're blind.
I'm
right?
Blind, yes. I can't drive a car. I can't fucking I have him in here because I can't see that computer.
Do you think you face more discrimination on a daily basis than someone who's black, someone who's brown?
No, but I face discrimination. People call me Blind Mike. Right. The first thing you think is, okay. Why is this guy missing my handshake? Why isn't he making eye contact?
You call yourself Blind Mike. You've branded yourself as that, correct?
Sure, because it's funny. I understand that. But Alex, when people lose respect for me because I do things like I miss handshakes.
Who loses respect for you because you miss a handshake?
Everyone I've ever met in my entire life.
Well,
I think I'm being an asshole. Well, okay. That's for people that discriminate against black people.
So you would put that on the same level as being a woman at a job who's facing sex discrimination, who doesn't get paid
what
as
I'm
much.
What I'm saying to you is that I don't look at myself as downtrodden, but I do fit the criteria of someone who's discriminated against and lower class.
No.
And that,
you know, the median income for black families in Boston is like 8,000. The median household net worth is like $8,000.
Yeah, that's what mine is too.
Well, mine too, but I blame that for getting in this business,
right?
Whereas white households like $200,000. I mean, there's a history of discrimination in this country against African Americans, people of color, that's been perpetuated by the Trump administration.
All right, so Alex Freeman does not care about disabled people. We're not as
that's right. Yeah, put that headline on.
We have it a lot better than blacks and
well,
women.
You just can't compare your... Well, you personally, yeah, I think you do have it better than a black person who's born in the inner city with a single mother, absolutely, who's smoking a little weed on his porch, gets arrested by the police. I mean, thanks to Jeff Sessions, they're going right there. Trump says we don't care if you beat him up, rough him up. I mean, no.
All right, that's an interesting take. Alex
well,
Rimmer.
What's an interesting take?
Disabled people aren't discriminated against.
When did I say that? 2 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Line for line? Word for word?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, that I'm, okay, or at least that I don't fit that criteria for whatever reason. I don't understand why I don't.
Well, what are you arguing about? What are you comparing yourself to?
You're saying that I've never faced challenges in my life because I'm a white
man. I never said that.
And I'm saying the group that I'm in.
I said that your group, you are more privileged by the color of your skin.
So I'm more white than I am blind?
Yes.
Why?
Just because?
Because you've decided that because it hurts your argument if a blind guy who doesn't make any money doesn't think that he's being
Why do you not make any money? Because you want to do this business, right? What if you went
but
into
what
finance?
What can I do? I can't drive for Uber. I can't do any. There's a lot of regular jobs. I can't work as a fucking cashier because I can't see computers.
Right. And if you're a cashier, you'd be rolling in the dough.
No, that's what I'm saying is I can't even get regular shitty jobs because I can't see. That's just a fact.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I'm just saying that the institutional discrimination, that's stuff that you physically can't do, right?
Right.
So how is that institutional discrimination?
There isn't. What I'm saying is I've also faced challenges, and you're saying that because I'm white, it's not real or something.
I never said that. Just because of your skin color, you are inherently more privileged than somebody who is black.
Well, I'll say this. That's not what this podcast is, but now I do believe that you believe that shit.
Well, it's
and that's
true.
What, that's what I like. Because you know, like the problem I've had with you is that sometimes I'm like, I don't know if he buys it, but like having an actual discussion.
Yeah,
with
a crazy.
You,
I love that a crazy opinion that because it. You're white, you're inherently more privileged than someone who is not and has faced history of institutional discrimination and racism in this country. I love that that's like a
but
crazy
radical
opinion.
But now, what is the government doing now to oppress black people? But just give me an example.
What is the government doing to oppress black people?
What is the government doing?
How about mandatory prison sentences? Jeff Sessions wants to keep those. I mean, our law enforcement system in general.
But for just black people?
Black people get arrested at a disproportionate rate to white people. They use, for example, black people and white people, but it's institutional. And it's when Trump is up there saying, back in my day, you know, you used to rough up the people you arrest, hit their heads on the car, I won't care. I mean, that is encouraging this kind of behavior. The Justice Department was looking into problematic police departments under Barack Obama. They pulled that back under Jeff Sessions. I mean, you can go on down the line of this kind of stuff.
But even the police being racist isn't the government. If there are a disproportionate amount of racist
but economic
cops,
policies
that isn't the
government. Too, though. I mean, when you cut back on Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, when you cut back on entitlements, who are the people primarily taking those? Yes, poor people, and a lot of poor people in this country are people of color. So it's stuff like that.
But there's also things that go into that, like single parent households. That's not racism. That's just.
But there's more single parent households in the black community than white people.
Why is that? Yeah, that's because of the government.
It's because of decades. It's because of centuries of discrimination. That's what it is. It's because
there's
a lot of
single parent households because of discrimination.
It's because a lot of fathers get arrested for nonviolent drug offenses. They go to prison.
So every single parent household, the father was arrested.
Many of them.
It's not that he's just not around. Whatever,
you're trying too hard. You're trying too hard to like. This isn't that hard of an argument. African Americans are disproportionately arrested compared to white people, right? Especially yes. For non-drug offenses. So you would say then that more African American men are arrested for nonviolent drug use than white men. They spend more time in jail because right. They don't have lawyers, they don't have proper representation. You could say yes, that's an economic issue, but a lot of people of color are in lower economic classes than white people. So I mean, that's
right. Just
one example why there are more single parent households. But there's less contraception use as well in low income neighborhoods.
And that's not because of the government either.
Yes, it is because they want to shut down Planned Parenthood. They want to shut down other places where they give contraception and other forms of birth control.
Or because it feels good to not wear a condom. That's another reason.
I guess
people...
so, yeah, true. I'm happy I'm gay.
did that ever bother you when you started on KNC? First of all, respect, because you did the same thing I did.
What?
Your first appearance on KNC, I don't know how well it went, but you threw out, you said, hey, by the way, I'm gay. I'm coming.
Second appearance.
Oh, that was your second appearance?
Yes.
Okay, I take it back then.
Yeah.
Was that a kind of strategic where you felt it was? Because that's what I did in my interview with Barstool. I felt like it sucked. So I said, I'm blind, by the way, if you want to make fun of me.
It was a slow show. I'm like, what can I do? I'll never get invited back.
Is that what it was that you
no.
were worried or you just really wanted to do it?
Well, Kirk asked me, like, he's like, we have Alex Reamer here. What do people not know about you? And I'm like, you know, let's just do it. Because, as you know, I mean, in order to do talk radio well, especially KNC, you have to be yourself.
Yeah. I don't know how to do it well, but yeah.
I don't even really. But in order to even attempt to do it well, right, you have to be yourself. And so I was thinking, well, I have to say this eventually. I can't pretend to be some straight guy. So here's the floor. Let me take the opportunity. So that's what that was.
There was a little bit of a thought that this might help your career or not.
Oh, it's definitely helped.
Yeah.
It's definitely helped. I mean, it helps to stand out. It helps to be different. That gave me a lot of juice early on.
Sure.
I think it's helped. It's been a net positive.
Did it ever bother you when you started that Jerry seemed just fascinated by the idea that you could possibly have sex with a man?
I know. What a crazy, radical thought.
Just the thought that you put your penis inside a man. My
so
God.
So wild.
Like a 60 Minutes interview he would do with
and
you.
And it continues. He's so fascinated
by still,
it. Even this
still?
Week, Wednesday, I spent a lot of time on the gay stuff. Jerry is so enthralled with that world because it's so far from what he's used to.
Right.
Or could even imagine.
Right.
You know?
The most embarrassing thing I heard, because, you know, sex in a bathhouse in Montreal, that just seems like good old-fashioned fun.
Really dirty. Gross.
It seems like just, you know, wild and crazy fun. The most embarrassing thing I've ever heard you say was this morning. You said when you were a young man, you would mute the TV.
I did, yes.
And call baseball games?
I did, yes.
That's how I became
such a great broadcaster.
Like, I feel like if you watched a documentary on the likes of a Jeffrey Dahmer type, you would hear that he was doing that in the privacy of his own
right
home.
Right on that.
Like, that's psychotic.
Get the nail right on the head. And, I don't even have any pictures in my room, any posters. The walls are blank. So I definitely have several serial killer type tendencies. Yeah.
I won't dispute that. I'm respecting you more, everything I hear about
that's you. That's what it works.
Was there anyone at the station that, because I know, you know, Kirk advocated for you, Jerry advocated for you getting back on the air. Was there anyone that advocated against you? and maybe not went to management and said, I don't want this guy in there, but maybe said, ah, you know, he's a little dangerous. I don't know if we should have him back. Did you hear any wind of that?
No, not to my knowledge.
No?
No.
That's disappointing. I was hoping you'd have someone.
Yeah, I know, me too. Give me some more to hate, but no, yeah. Not to my knowledge. I don't think so.
Why aren't you ever on, or will you be on Dale and Keith at all?
I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, I kind of
missed
that.
Do they not want you on?
I did one show with them months ago that I thought was great. We had like a great first hour. We went at it about sports talk versus non-sports talk.
But Holly must have still been there at that point.
Holly was out. It was Dale and Keith, and I was filling in for Holly. It was like the day before Thanksgiving or something. So when Holly left, I mean, that was right after the Brady thing. So I was out of the picture. If I was around, I think I definitely would have gotten some reps with Dale and Keith. There's no doubt. Now, I don't know. I mean, they have their own rotation. I'm not sure. I mean, 6-6. I do fit best with KNC, like ideally, right? I mean, you know, me doing Celtics offseason talk, I'll do it, but that I don't really feel like I can stand out in that, you know, in that kind of setting.
That's the other thing I wonder about you is, you know, when you were obviously when you were doing, maybe I'm wrong about this because I didn't catch every episode of the Big Show Unfiltered.
Oh yeah, but no one did.
If you can believe
people
that,
did.
But when I did hear you on there, you know, you were not what you are now. You were very. You were Sporty McKenzie's grandson, essentially.
Beyond Sporty McKenzie. Guy. I used to be a huge... I did a Red Sox podcast for years. I was in the numbers like nobody would believe.
Right.
Yeah.
So is that just because you've evolved as a human being? Or is it that you've kind of admired what Kirk has done and said, that's more what I want to be?
Oh, it's definitely... Look, I was a huge fan of KNC for years before coming on here. I love that kind of radio. Love Howard Stern. You know, Kirk to me is... I'm kind of such a Kirk bum smoocher, but I love the inner drama stuff. I love the station drama stuff. As a listener, that's the stuff that I liked the most. And as I grew older, I became more interested in media, sports media in particular. And really the last several years, it's been politics. I mean, my interests have more diverted away from sports, more towards politics. Now, I'm still a huge sports fan. I love to watch the Red Sox, pay attention, keep up on it. I mean, the thing is, if you listen to my weekend shows, my night shows, I don't do a Kirk and Callahan. I mean, it's really hard to do what they do. I mean, I don't talk about last night's game necessarily. I do more issues. But I think it's a combination of things. It's a combination of what works, what's entertaining. As a listener, I always liked listening to the media on media stuff, the interstation drama stuff, the more political stuff, social issues. So as a host, I figure when I can, I'll take it in that direction. And also, I think it's your interest. Your interests change, you know, over time as well.
So that was my question, is that I hear you on KNC and you'll kind of mock the idea of talking Red Sox for 4 hours. But from what I've heard of you on, you know, on the weekends in particular, is if it was just you and Drellick this morning, you probably would have done 4 hours of Mookie Betts is the greatest of all.
No, it wouldn't have been like that. I mean, we would have done a little what they did, making fun of it. But yeah, well, listen, filling in, that's a good thing you bring. Filling in for KNC when they're not there is hard because you want to do the same show that they do. And it's good to do that to an extent, but you're also not Jerry or Kirk.
Sure.
You know, so what I find a lot of times you're doing a lot of these weekend shows, like when it's me and Andy Hart, I've met him a handful of times. We've worked together. It's gone fine. Like, we'll bullshit. We'll go back and forth. But ultimately, I can't do 2 hours of small talk with Andy Hart because it'll just suck, right? So let's get into a topic. So that's my mindset when I host these weekend or night shows. Let's get into a topic. Like, we don't have the chemistry isn't always there. Again, I don't really know the guy that well. I don't know how deep they want to get into other stuff. So I find it's better to be more issue driven.
Gilroy, when I was on with Gilroy the other night, he had a bizarre argument that because this is WEEI Sports Talk Radio, it's called, that there should be more sports talk on the station. Like, he thinks it's good that, you know, Dale and Keith never get into other subjects outside of sports because it's sports talk radio. So I said, what if hypothetically, if they lost their minds down the hall and gave like me and Reamer a show together, two guys that don't want to talk about sports for 4 hours, two guys that want to talk about other shit. I go, you don't think that would be successful just because there's sports and
they didn't hear our political.
There's a million.
I mean, that would have been amazing.
There's a million reasons it wouldn't be successful. But you're saying it wouldn't be successful just because it says sports talk radio. And he said, yes, you'd have to rebrand the station as a political talk station. And I don't understand that logic that because it's sports talk radio that no other shows should get into sports other than the morning show.
No, yeah. I mean, and that's what Kirk says too, right? Just because the sun is positioned in a different area in the sky, like people want to hear entertaining talk at 8 in the morning, but not at 8 at night. Like, right. That doesn't really make sense. So, yeah, I think you should just talk about what you're passionate about.
Yeah. And Gilroy is saying, like, the Red Sox are on the station, so you need to talk Red Sox. Yeah. It's like, why? No, you can listen to the Red Sox.
But Gilroy's in love for himself. I mean, for a guy like Gilroy, you got to say, this is a good week for him, right? So he's fighting with Kirk.
Yeah.
He's fighting with Lou and Glenn all the time. So that's good. Hey, yeah. When you're in Gilroy's spot, you just got to get surface 6-6, and he's been doing that. So
Gilroy is
your late night compadre.
Gilroy's not
some
as
credit.
Bad as I thought he would be before. Like now that I've met him and been on his show, he's better at radio than I thought.
He's
he
a
was.
Very nice guy.
Yeah. Oh, very nice guy. Yeah. Why have they talked to you about giving you that slot back? Because Gilroy is doing 2 days a week,
right?
And then it was Ben Maller. The other 2 days.
Is he still doing it?
Well, when I was in there the other night, they were telling me Ben Maller has been doing it like once a month, and the other nights they play like best of or something. Have they talked to you about giving you that back?
No, I don't know.
Do you think they're afraid or?
No, I don't think it's that. I worked by myself last weekend.
Right.
No, I don't know. I mean, it's tough when you're doing KNC. Like, obviously, you can't do it the night before. So, I don't know. I'm sure I'll be back on the late night time slot.
If you're ever in with Brady. Which
I
imagine
I
that'll
be.
Never
I
happen.
I don't think that's ever going
to
happen.
I imagine that'll never happen.
No.
But hypothetically, you're in on a day where Brady is on, and something happens with Guerrero, or there's something controversial is in the news. Will
right.
you be afraid? Would you ask him that type of question, or
no.
would you be afraid to do that?
Nope.
You straight up wouldn't?
Well, it's Jerry and Kirk's interview. I was in on right. a few Brady interviews over
I'm saying,
the fall.
For whatever reason, you're talking to Brady professionally. Like in an interview for whatever
reason.
Would
I ask him a tough
would
question?
Would you do that, or would you be afraid to interview him? Given what's happened,
no, I would interview him.
But would you ask him any hard questions or no? Would it be a puff piece?
Are there hard questions to ask?
I'm saying in this given week there is. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say no. I'd be afraid. I mean, in the moment, what
right,
I don't
I guess
know.
It's a
but
dumb,
I mean,
it's a dumb
I'm going to say yes right now.
You're going to
yeah.
say yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go right at him.
Because it's never going to happen. They'll never put you on with Brady, right?
I don't think so.
There's no way?
No. I highly doubt it.
Now, that's the weird thing, because, like, what if you get a show here? You know what I mean? Like, what if you someday are full-time on the morning show? I guess it's never happened as long as they have Brady, right? There's only a few more years left of him, so.
Yeah, retire soon, Tom.
Just get out of here, Tom.
Please.
Let Alex get
let's
the morning
go,
show.
Go to the Brian
sake.
Hoyer era.
Yeah. I asked Kirk this question, and it spawned a little. Jerry got a little butthurt by his answer.
Uh-oh.
But so I'll ask you the same thing. Other than KNC,
mm-hmm.
anyone on this station, anyone on 98.5, anyone that's not in radio, who do you? They give you the afternoon show or whatever show, and they say build it. Pick your co-host and whatever. Who do you choose?
I can't choose Jerry or Kirk.
No.
Tomasi and Trenny.
Oof. Jesus Christ.
Turncoat Radio, baby.
Oh, my
there
God.
There we go. That's the show I would enjoy doing the most.
The liberals would love it.
Oh, it'd be a great show.
Is that really what you choose? Trenny and Tomasi?
I love working with those two.
You don't think that there would be too much just everyone agreeing with
no,
each other?
No, it'd be too much agreement. We need a conservative.
Yeah.
We need a conservative in there. Deep-voiced, Marlboro-smoking conservative.
Mutt's a big conservative.
Huge conservative.
Mutt, Trenny, Mutt, Trenny, and Reamer.
I like working with Mutt, sure.
I like Mutt, too. Honestly, I think Mutt gets too much shit. You know who I think gets way too much shit is Bradford for being bad on the air.
Rob's a great guy.
Rob's an excellent guy.
And tries hard. Yeah, I like Rob on the air.
But I don't think he's terrible on the air. Like, maybe he stutters and stammers.
That's good.
So do I.
Yeah, I do, Tammy. I can't pick on anyone's voice or stuttering or stammering. I'm the last person to throw bombs there.
But Rob is willing to say things. Like, they got him today for not having a great comeback to Murray.
Yeah.
But he is willing to stir shit, at least more so than Dale.
Oh,
you know
Rob
what I mean?
Totally under. No, yeah. Rob has it down. I mean, Rob's doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
Rob goes back to the old Big Show.
If you had to pick anyone at 98.5. Is there anyone you would want to work with there?
Of course, Felger. Is that even a question?
I forgot about that.
Was
that the most ridiculous thing you got banned for, was the Felger thing?
Oh, yeah.
What? Did they get... Was that just overreacting? Was that real?
Oh, it was very real, yes.
I don't... Because that seems to me, at least in hindsight, maybe I agreed with them at the time, I don't remember, but in hindsight, that seems like something they'd have you in and bash you for, not ban you for... Weeks or months.
Yeah, I need to be put in my place. Daddy Kirk.
Did they really tell you off the air, like, you're an idiot? We can't.
No one told.
On?
No one talked to me off the air.
Really?
Nope. I woke up that morning and I listened. It's Alex Reamer. We want him fired. Never on the show. I go, what is going on here? And I remember I was walking to the gym that morning, trying to take my mind off it, and someone stopped me in the street and was like, "Hey, they're really killing you this morning." I'm like, "Thanks, thank you." that was very bizarre. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think they were pissed, and legitimately so, right? So they send me to the Tony Robbins event. They pay for my ticket. I do write an article for the website. But the thing was,
I was dumb, but it just seemed like something that'd have you in the next day.
Yeah, but it's so time summer. You got to play it up. You know, rub Reamer's face in it, dirt face in the dirt a little bit. My mistake there, of course, as we know, is I took it to heart and I didn't say, okay, so I'm in this situation now. It's not life or death. I still work at WEEI. I mean, so
right.
I was on all that next weekend. So it's like, how can we play this? And I didn't have an idea of how to play it.
Yeah, that would be my my flaw too. Is I would get on Twitter and be like, "What? Why are they doing
it's
this?"
It's hard.
To
you can't do
Why?
It. You can't. It's mind games. Yeah. It's all mind games.
What's your relationship like with Chris Curtis?
I think it's good.
You guys talk off the air and friendly and.
Listen. If I did that to you, would you ever be able to like really trust me again? Of course not.
That's bizarre to me that he's like, "I have him back on," like because I would be. I don't think I would ever. Talk to you again. That's
right.
Just how I am.
I think a lot of people are like that.
Yeah.
No, I'm shocked that Curtis has been able to forgive me. It's amazing. I wouldn't have been able to forgive myself. That is by far there's no thing. It's despicable, disgraceful. Just actually, it makes my stomach churn.
That was when I would say John Dennis was right about you. You're a weasel.
Oh yeah, he's right about. Yeah, I am a weasel. Rat. All of it.
So what? How long did that take to get back in his good graces, or was that right away? Because it's bizarre to me. Chris Curtis is an odd guy. Because when Minahan did my podcast,
mm-hmm.
I think it came up, why doesn't Blind Mike come on, go do weekends or whatever? And Curtis called me very dry and boring.
He said that to you on the air?
He said it on the air.
Have you talked to Curtis?
I talked to him, he was very nice. He goes, hey, like go in and do Gilroy and you know, we're trying to mix you in on the station a little bit and stuff like that. So it's weird. And you can't take everything on the air seriously, but it's such a contrast.
Yeah, don't.
But I don't know what to make of the fucking guy.
Hey, just keep doing the Gilroy stuff and we're looking for people. I mean, Curtis, the one thing with Curtis is Curtis listens all the time. He's very passionate. He had a Deitch interview. He loves sports talk radio. I mean, he's... You know, you just gotta keep doing it. And again, it's all part of the mind games.
Sure.
It's all mind games here.
But how quickly was he willing to talk to you? And
I mean, we spoke, a couple weeks after it happened. I mean, we spoke in person, obviously. And
right.
I just like, it took some time. But I mean, we have a good relationship. I mean, Curtis does all the scheduling for the station. So
sure.
I talk to him, you know, at least a couple times a week.
I'm sorry.
Please, Curtis, can I go on? Yeah, I talk to Curtis a lot.
The other thing I didn't understand from you is... when you said, when they had you back on for that classic debate, you versus Kirk.
Yeah.
You said professionally, personally, I'm sorry, but professionally I'm not. I didn't understand, like, I get the idea of it, but what that equates to in my mind is, no, I'm not really sorry.
No, I mean, of course, how could anyone feel good about what, I mean, that was such a, again, just an awful, sickening thing to do. And just how demented and deranged I had become, you know, I'm thinking, so I'm off the air, trying to get back on. I'm apologizing to Jerry and Kirk. I came here to, this is how pathetic I am. I came here one day to apologize to them. Kirk somehow got tipped off I was coming. He left before I could apologize. Talk about the fucking mind games, right?
Sneaking out the back door.
So I'm so crazed. And I'm like, you know, like he doesn't respect capitulation. So what if I like do the dirtiest, like nastiest thing I can think of? What do I have on any of them? Oh, I have this. This is how perverse the thinking is. Maybe somehow Jerry, they'll respect that I'm willing to go as low as possible. It's like really fucked up. Right. So that's what I meant when I said that. I was like, it was so desperate and sad. And at that, the parole hearing, if you will, like, and we've even said this on the air, like I already talked to Curtis privately a couple of times. That was not about apologizing again to Curtis, because I would have come across as so pathetic and weak and feckless.
Oh, you did 100% the right thing.
And they were not in the mood to like forgive me. I mean, so I had to go in there swinging.
Right. The one very good shot you had that I thought, and I remember Jerry got a good belly laugh out of it, was when Kirk said, you know, we're a family here, and we don't do that to our family. And you said, wasn't John Dennis a member of that family?
Yes.
I was like, you know what? That's a good, that was a good
fucking Kirk
shot.
Can't take the moralistic high ground on you know, anything,
really. Yeah, he's cheering when people get fired.
Yeah,
it's like, come on. So there's no one at this station you hate that's been a dick to you or anything?
Not to my face. Not to my face. I'm sure behind my back, plenty of people.
But you don't know, nothing you know of?
Nothing. I'm not here that much. I'm only here when I'm doing shows. And, you know, unless I'm doing KNC, it's off hours. I'm here nights, weekends generally. So I don't have a lot of interaction with people.
Is there anyone in the media? Because you've been in the media for fucking ever. You had Jerry Callahan on your podcast 10 years
ago. There it was.
So is there anyone in the media that's been a dick to you? That you hold a grudge against or anything?
Again, not to my face.
Have you ever had any interaction with Pete Abraham?
No, I have not.
Well, then, buckle up. He'll be addicted. Oh, yeah. You didn't hear that story?
No.
When I was still a bar stool, and Jared Karabas did my first podcast ever.
Oh, yeah. He hates Jared, right?
Right. So we were talking about that, and I told a story of someone else witnessing Pete Abraham be a dick. Like, he was texting while one of the kids from the Best Buddies charity, which I'm imagining you donate a lot to now.
Now I do, yes. Number one donor.
But some kid...
It goes right to the University of Michigan Athletic Department, right? Reverend Brady's funneling that cash.
Some kid from the Best Buddies charity was on stage at the Globies, and I guess Pete was, like, texting and had to be told to put his phone away. And it's a longer story than that, but that's basically the story I told. And it was no more malice than that, and all I said, and I go, I wasn't there, this is just told to me secondhand, blah, blah, blah. So the next day, Feidelberg at Barstool, your boy, comes out of the back office and says, why does Pete Abraham want your phone number? I said, I don't know. Like, I didn't even remember telling that story. He said, can I give it to him? I said, yeah. So I get a call. Mike, this is Pete Abraham. I say, hey, Pete, how's it going? He goes, not good. He goes, several members of my family listened to your podcast and said that you were saying I hate mentally challenged kids. And I go, well, Pete, first of all, I see the numbers. There's no chance several members of your family were listening.
Not even several people in general.
Right, yeah. Maybe both my parents. Maybe two people listened. So I don't know where you're getting that.
Did you say that about him?
No. It was the craziest thing.
What were you talking about him at all?
Well, that I said the story that I just said, that he was texting during the Best Buddies thing.
How do you get that as...
I go, Pete, did you listen to it? He goes, why would I? I go, maybe to get some context, because obviously whoever's telling you this is completely wrong. So I said, will you come on the podcast and talk about it? He said, no, you're an idiot. He was trying to get me fired from Barstool. He was texting Karabas saying, how can you support this guy? All this crazy shit. And I was an intern at the time.
Oof, so petty and low.
It was the craziest thing. So, now he does a weird thing where he'll follow me and unfollow me and block me and unblock me on Twitter. It's the most bizarre. He's the weirdest guy I've ever interacted with in my life, and I've heard nothing but terrible stories from other people that have.
Go ahead.
He's like a preteen girl.
Yeah, he really is.
Well, that's what it sounds like, blocking. Yeah. I think it's also someone who has too much time on their hands as well, right? Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
So there's no... I'm amazed with your personality and controversy and all that stuff that no one's had any sort of beef with you like that.
No, not to my face. I'm sure behind my back. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure behind my back there's been plenty of stuff said, especially when the Brady thing happened. But you're asking me to my face... No.
No one's ever seen
maybe Dale.
Yeah, I guess on air I would know about, but...
Yeah, I mean, do I think Dale is a huge fan of mine? No, probably not. I mean, Keith, right. I don't know, probably not. I mean, did that one show with them, it was pretty contentious. But, I mean, again, to my face, I really only see Jerry Kirk and, you know, late night board ops and Mutt.
Right. and Mutt. At this stage of your career, if they said to you, we want you to do... want you to take Mutt's show or whatever, but we want you to only do sports talk, would you do it, or would you take some sort of a stand and say, I'm not about that?
Oh, I would do it.
You would do it?
I'm in this. Just I'm 25 sports. Years old.
Right.
I mean,
you know, yeah. You said something interesting in that the battle versus Kirk that we were talking about, where you said, I can't work for ESPN.
Oh, right, yes.
But
great line.
You said that, and they bashed that, but it's like, that's true. You know what I mean? Like, you could have gone down a road where you were working for ESPN or MLB Network or whatever, the way you were going, where you could have just been a boring writer, but making a nice living, and you've...
Living in Bristol, Connecticut, though.
Sure, who wants to do that? But there's something to be said for kind of throwing that away.
I don't know. Well, Bill Simmons, ESPN hired Bill Simmons after he called the ESPYs like a TV holocaust, you know? So, sure. I mean, I don't know.
There's a chance?
To be honest with you, I don't think I'm on ESPN's radar in the least.
I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying the way you were going is... That seems like what you would have done by starting your Red Sox blog and all that type of shit is, or maybe work for the Globe or whatever.
Yeah, again, though, it's where your interests go. Like, do I want to be a beat writer now? No, I don't want to be a beat writer. Do I want to host SportsCenter? No, I don't want to host SportsCenter. I love doing what I do here. I love the stuff I do for the website, stirring it up on the air. I mean, I like, and the thing that I always say about EEI, and you know, you've encountered this, I'm sure too, is there's really a lot of freedom to do what you want.
Sure.
I mean, I can only count a handful of times where I've been told, you know, it's stay away from this, let's not go here. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know.
The only time it happened was during that month where it was you and then Fourier.
Yes.
And that's when
the
first five episodes of my podcast, we had to edit because we had to take shit out.
Yeah.
But obviously that's understandable. But my last question for you, I'll ask for the stoolies.
Okay, great.
I've heard you, I've heard you mention Barstool with a sort of contention and like kind of like you look down on them. Is that, and maybe I'm wrong, but is that just because they kind of exposed the pissant thing?
No.
Or is it just that you don't like what they do there?
Barstool is interesting. I mean, you have to respect what Portnoy's built, right?
Sure.
And I think some of the shit's funny. Like, part of my take, I like a lot. I think that's okay. A really, really funny show. Personally, I don't visit it every day. It's just not for me.
Well, neither do I. But I wouldn't think, like, when they come up, I wouldn't go, ugh. You know,
well,
what
they
I mean?
Hate that- me. The stories hate me. So I hate them.
Okay. That's what I was asking, if that came from the pissant thing or if it was...
Well, they hated me before.
Because Trenny hates it because she thinks it's a smut blog or whatever.
Yeah, well, they...
You
no,
don't look down
well, they,
on it for
they,
that.
They hated me before then.
Well, for what? Just in general?
In general. Anti-patriots. I don't know. That crowd's never
Are you
liked
anti-patriot?
Me. I don't think so.
That's the one thing that was a little much there, and I played into it while I was there, like, you know, defend the wall and all that shit. But it was a little much when it's like... Anyone who says, like, you know, the Patriots might not win the Super Bowl this year.
Like,
let's fucking attack them.
Let's hate them.
That's a little crazy.
Yeah. But I don't think the story's like me, which is why I go back at them once in a
while.
Well,
that's
fair. That's
all what right.
that is. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know if you were just, like, looking down your nose, like you're better than them or something.
I don't think I could ever do that. Talk about, like, you know, having
anyone,
sex in bathhouses. How can I ever look down
See,
at
See, you'd fit right in there. They would love that.
They already have a gay writer, though, right?
Do they?
Gay
I honestly don't follow it that much anymore either. They'll bring up names to me. They're like, oh, do you see a. Tex and Glenny Balls. I'm like, I don't know who the fuck that is. Blind Mike is where Barstool ended for me. But, Alex, thank you for doing this, man.
Hey, thanks, man. Anytime.
It
was fun.
Hey, you've earned my respect, which is,
good.
I'm sure, all you really needed.
Yes,
when
I
you came
walk
back,
out here
you said, the one thing I want to do
is
get
Blind
on
Mike
Trash
podcast.
Talk.
Yes.
All right, man. Thanks a lot for doing it.
Hey, man. Anytime.
I appreciate it.
Cool.
See you next week, guys.
See you, man.
You've been listening to Trash Talk with Blind Mike. Hear it again on WEEI.com, iTunes, and the radio.com app. Tune in next week for another edition of Trash Talk, a presentation of WEEI.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.